in the darkness. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome again to everyone here and everyone who is watching online as we worship again together here at Harbor of Joy. We do wish everyone a good morning and a good week ahead. We have announcements. Dean asked me to inform the congregation that Pastor Bowles will be following up with his physician this week, and he hopes to learn what activities he can be released to do. We do pray that soon one of those activities will be to return to his place here, and in the meantime, that both he and Sharon are feeling better with each day that passes.
He did the polar plunge yesterday. I'm wondering how he
got it. Shot there.
You have to deal with the unexpected. Nancy, do you have something that you wanted to say? This Saturday is the men's breakfast at Perkins at 7:30 in the morning. Don't forget about that. Patty Griffiths does have something she wants to say.
I just want to thank all of you for your prayers while I was in Africa. It was an excellent trip. I barely made it because our flight was really late out of Minneapolis, but that's how it goes. Some years it's really tough. This year was really excellent. Our vocational training center, it's in a village that is only 20% Christian. And because they have absolutely nothing, they don't care that we're Christian, and they know we're Christian. So the highlight of my trip was we had 25 students graduate in tailoring and carpentry. And the best part was one of our Muslim students, she did not wear a head covering. And you know, there's always dancing in Africa. So they're dancing and singing praises to Jesus with this huge loudspeaker that gave me a headache. But she was dancing and singing. Every single time they were dancing and singing, she was amongst them. And it just blessed my heart so much. So thank you for your prayers. Thank you for all the donations that you guys give. It's an awesome thing. You know, we have to be very gentle in how we preach Christ. And we have a pastor that comes every week and does devotions. And our staff is amazing. But they don't have to stay for the devotions if they aren't Christian, or they, you know, especially the Muslims, but a lot of them do. And so they are the public schools. They have laws in Tanzania how many times they can be caned. So our school is very different than what they're used to with the love and fun. And, so it's a different atmosphere to see that something's different. And it's really, really cool to see. Hear the testimonies of some of the students and just see that. So thank you very much.
Most of us will not go far, far away to a place like Tanzania, but we are blessed to have someone in our midst who is so special to us, who makes that special connection to those people that we will never meet. So we're very happy. Your work too, Patty. You know, God has once again sent us one of his servants, Dan, Antoine, and Allison, and their family have long been an important part of the AM and Okoboji Lutheran Bible camps. And Dan is going to speak to us briefly just now and share the message with us just a little later.
Well, I just wanted to thank you for inviting me this morning to be here. We're actually hosting my sister and Allison's sister at our house with their kids, so it's a little bit of a zoo there. So they decided to just stay at home and do church together there this morning, but I'm excited to be here with you this morning. And I wanted to just encourage you in this cold season to be thinking ahead to a warmer season, summer. And it's never too early to start thinking about camp. And I know that for most people, when you think about camp, you're probably like, well, camp is for kids. and I'm not a kid, or I don't have kids at my house anymore, or something like that. But I'm guessing that all of you at least know a kid. Maybe more than one even. And I want you to think about how you might be a voice of encouragement in their life to consider coming to camp. Camp is such a special place to get away from the normal routines of life and the pressures and stresses that are just a part of regular everyday life. To get away to a place where it's really intentional about creating a caring, safe community, building friendships, trying new things, and really intentionally carving out space to listen to God's voice in their lives. And camp is not just for kids either. At Ingham Okoboji, we have retreats all year round for all ages. We have, just in 2 weeks, a marriage retreat for couples to come and get away. There are commuter options, so if you're local and you just prefer staying in your own bed, but you'd like to come out for the sessions and some of the activities and meals, there are commuter options for that marriage retreat as well. So I want to encourage you to think about that. But we also have crafting retreats, Women's Day in the fall. We have two retreats every year for kids 55 and older. So if you think about it, in June and September, and you're in that age category, or maybe when you get a little older and you fall into that age category, you could come out to Elderversity to that. We also have family camps in the summer. So family can mean a lot of different things. We have grandparents that bring their grandkids for a week, and it's their most treasured week of the year to be together with the grandkids. But we also have extended families, multiple adult children with the grandparents that have all the grandkids, and it becomes a family reunion, a vacation at camp with God and with Christ right in the center. So I just wanted to broaden the box of what you might think camp is, and I want to encourage you to stop at the table. If you didn't pick up one of those blue brochures next to the bulletins on the way in, I want to encourage you to take one on the way home. If nothing else, it'll be some good cold weather reading in your chair. Find out what is going on at the camps, all the different opportunities, and check out more. And then, if you think of someone as you're reading through the brochure, just pass it on to them. And then the last little plug I want to make is that, as impactful as a week of camp can be for a youth or a family to come, an even greater impact is spending an entire summer working at the camp on staff. And I know several people from this congregation and from this community have even said yes to serving God all the way up the highway at Ingham Okoboji for the summer, and it's been an incredible summer of service. It's an opportunity to be stretched, to serve, to focus your life on Christ, to develop healthy spiritual disciplines and habits that last, and especially to be a part of a young adult community of faith. We usually have about 60 or 70 college and high school students who are working together, developing friendships that become lifelong. So on the table out there, there's some little flyers on the end that say apply for summer staff. And if you know someone that you think, you know what, you'd be really good at it, just grab a flyer, send them a message. Maybe you're not even nearby them, but just send them a message and tell them to check it out, because your personal encouragement might make all the difference for them. So I won't take any more time now, but I really want to encourage you on the way out the door to just stop by the table, look through some of the different opportunities that we have available, and ask me any questions you might have. So thanks so much for having me. I look forward to sharing a little more later.
I don't have anything else. Is there anything we're missing?
I would be curious to ask how many have been to some activity out of the camp. All right. And how many of you served, pointing to one person first, happened to be a nurse for some minute? Oh,
yeah.
Becky Monahan, yeah. That's reason enough to come then. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty. Okay.
Our responsive reading this morning is from 1 Peter, chapter 3, verses 13 through 16. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good?
But even if you should suffer for what
you have, do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened.
Lay your eyes set upon Christ as Lord.
Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have.
But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping in order your conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good and kingdom and rest may be ashamed.
I would ask you to join me in prayer. Father God, you give us the ability to experience many different emotions, happiness, sadness, eager, anger, and fear. But you do not give us worry. You clearly tell us in Scripture not to worry, but rather to trust in you. May we begin and end each day with trust in you, because all of our worry doesn't change anything. Trust in you does change us, though. Trust in you brings us peace. Thank you, Lord, for the peace we know through you. As always, we bring to you our requests for healing and protection for the people we know who are sick or injured, and those friends and family who have experienced surgery this week. We pray for continuing healing and complete return to good health for each of them. We also pray for each of the children attending the Joy Kids program. Please help us be examples for them so they understand how much you love them. Now, as we continue our worship, we lift our thoughts and praise to you. Thank you for your blessings of love, grace, and guidance. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, the microphone's working the first time. That's great. Well, I just want you to join me as we read in the scripture reading from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verses 27 through 29. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Christ." Well, good morning again, and grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, and greetings officially on behalf of all of us at Hingham Okoboji. It's fun to visit our partner congregations and bring greetings. And I was excited to be able to bring a message, and I hope it's encouraging for you this morning. But I can't do a Sunday without doing a children's sermon. So some of you might be thinking, well, there's not too many here, but I see lots of kids out here, just a lot of different ages of kids. So how many of you got to watch the fireworks last night? Okay, a few of you. Yeah, how many of you were just in bed, cozy, in your chair? Yeah, playing, that's great. Well, we at the camp have a great view, actually, of the fireworks. We just go out to our beach, our snow-covered beach now, but our beach, and watch over across the lakes. So my sister and her kids and my sister-in-law and her kids and all of our family went out to watch the fireworks. And as we were sitting there waiting for the fireworks to start, we noticed the stars were out. And they were out, they were brilliant and bright. And I don't know if you can just see them more clearly in the wintertime because of the weather, but they just seemed extra bright. And it was fun to point out some of the constellations to these, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7-year-old kids that we had. And just fun to see them just in awe of God's creation. And so when the fireworks started, you know, there they go, and poof, you see the glittering. It almost just paled in comparison to just looking up at the stars just a few minutes earlier. And the fireworks were fun to watch, and they were a great display, but all of us kind of had the same thought that, man, I'm not sure what's more neat to watch, the fireworks or to just stare into the beauty of God's handiwork in the skies. And it makes me just really curious to know how some people really believe that all of this, all of creation came to be because of an accident. You know, so there was nothing, and then out of nothing, something exploded, and matter collided, and then people came to be on Earth, you know. So, and then, you know, you kind of just have to stretch way, way, way far to think about how that could possibly be, at least without someone behind it all, right? And so it made me think about, I bring these pens around. By the way, there's a whole basket of pens. You can grab one on the way home. I call this adult candy. So you can grab one of these pens on the way home. But it made me think about this pen, right? And this pen has lots of different parts. So, I mean, there's the casing, and there's the spring that makes the clicker work. There's the actual ink part, which you don't like to break in your pocket. That's no fun. There's a little end of it here. There's several pieces that make up the clicker end, right? And you just look at a pen like that and you think, okay, it's obvious that someone designed that pen, right? Someone planned it out. They made each of the pieces. Every part works together. And if any one of those pieces is not there, the pen really doesn't work the way it's supposed to, right? It's pretty clear that if I said that those pieces just randomly, you know, came together somehow by chance and formed a working pen, you'd be like, I don't think so, Dan. It'd be like if I took all those pieces and just shook them up in this bag and just shook them a while long enough, they would come out. And then you reach in and you're like, oh, no, that's not a pen. Maybe I'll just shake it some more, right? Maybe if I keep shaking, it'll just turn into a pen. And then after a while, you're like, oh, wait. No, I'm just kidding. I put that in there beforehand. That was just a joke. All the pieces are still jangling around in there. No, you know that it can't happen by accident. I'm done with that now, but you just look at our world in the same way, and you think, there's no way this could be by accident. Everything around us points to a creator. Everything around us is screaming that God is glorious, that God is majestic, that God is the one who put all of this together, right? So a challenge for you is that when you go outside again and you look at the snow and you look at the clouds, or next time you see a thunderstorm or a sunrise or a sunset, just remember that all of those things are like arrows pointing to God. So let every time you kind of catch your breath and go, wow, that's really cool. Or you see a squirrel gathering nuts and making a nest, and you go, wow, God, you created them. That's amazing. Let it be an arrow pointing to God. But also let it remind you that God created you. That as much design and time and creativity as God put into nature, He also formed you. And I don't believe God makes mistakes, right? So God made you special just the way you are, and that even your very life points to God. I'm going to invite you to just pray with me before we dive in deeper here. God, thank you so much for making your beautiful creation. Thank you for making us beautiful too. Help us to think of you whenever we're in nature, in creation. And God, I pray that you would help us to live our lives in a way that points other people to you as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Our children's sermons are really for everyone, right? I had a pastor friend once, he told me, whatever my main point for the day is, I always make sure to include it in the children's sermon because I know everyone's listening. So I've kind of taken that to heart. But I just want to tell you a really little part of my testimony. But I grew up in the church. I was very involved. My mom was a worship leader. And so we were at church all the time. Whenever we weren't at school or at home, we were pretty much at church. And I loved it. It was great. I was very involved. Helped out with the Wednesday programs. Went on the mission trips. Every summer I went to camp. And it was a big impact on me. That's part of why I love the camp ministry. But as a young adult, especially when I stepped away from home to go off, I went to Augustana College, but leaving home, all of a sudden, you just realize that I now get to create what my world looks like. Like I get to choose whether I go to church every Sunday. No one's making me, no one's waking me up in the morning, shaking me out of bed. I get to make these decisions for myself now. And of course, for me, that was pretty easy. I wanted to do that. I believed in Jesus, but I'll be honest, I didn't have a lot of confidence about it. And I felt like anytime someone challenged something about faith or Christianity, or I'd hear a debate or question, I'm like, I don't really know how to answer that. And I knew I believed, but I didn't really know how to answer people with the questions. And our scripture today, challenges us. Always be ready to give a reason for the hope that you have in Christ. So, thankfully for me, I'm a nerd, and I love studying, and I love learning, and I love reading. And so I don't get shaken by questions. It just pushes me. It just pushes me to learn and to grow. So I dove in deep, and I asked really hard questions to my ministry leaders and pastors and mentors. I read lots of books. It drove me to study the Bible, to just read the Bible, because I realized I knew a lot of the stories in the Bible, but I really hadn't read the thing. As much as I professed to believe in God and study the Bible, I really hadn't read the Bible, and I just wanted to know what was really in there. And so I dug in deep, and I figured the more I studied, the more I'd find these like holes that people were talking about. That I would be exposed to these like inconsistencies and things that didn't make much sense in the faith, but actually the exact opposite happened. What I found when I asked the deepest, hardest questions and really dug in, I found that really everything
still pointed back to Jesus. And I gained kind of confidence about my faith. And that seems kind of weird, because faith, you know, even when you say the word, it implies some level of, I don't understand everything, and I'm trusting, right? But still, there was so much more that I could understand, and that gave me a lot of confidence within my faith. It's sort of like those crime shows, and I don't really watch a lot of TV, but I've seen enough of them to know that when you start the show out and there's a crime and you're trying to figure out who did the crime, it's, you know, the show goes on, and eventually you get revealed pieces of information that lead you closer and closer. By the end of the show, you have a pretty good idea of who done it. And it's kind of like that for me with God, with Jesus. I felt like the more I dug in, the more everything pointed to Jesus. Our theme this summer at camp actually is anchored in hope, right? And anchor is a symbol of being secure, right? Of being firm. And it's a lot like my journey of faith, of knowing that I believed, of having the hope of Christ, but I felt like at some point, God just really grabbed a hold of me, and I was able to really put my anchor of my life in that hope. And one of the things that helped me was learning about creation. We already shared some things about that this morning, but there are all kinds of crazy things. Like when you think about the earth and what it takes to sustain life, you know, we're 93 million miles away from the sun, and if we were just a little closer, just a little farther, if it wasn't tilted on its axis, if it didn't rotate, there would be no life. No life at all. And it's like the exact, you know, things that have to be in place for there to be life just screams that there's a creator behind it all who loves us and cares for us and provides for our needs. And so we read earlier Psalm 19, which just says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim his handiwork. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they share knowledge. And it just reminds me that all of creation just points to Jesus. And so one of the things that we can have confidence that we can anchor ourselves in is in the Creator. That there is someone behind it all. In fact, if you really read, there's so many people now in the scientific community who are moving more and more and more towards just accepting the idea that there's an intelligent designer. They won't go so far as to say a creator or God, but they acknowledge that there's an intelligent design behind creation. I don't know what that could be except God, but they're acknowledging that. I think that's pretty amazing. So part of what we can anchor ourselves in is the Creator. And every time we go outside, let that point to you. The next thing that really helped point me to Jesus was the Word of God. In fact, I think it's really ironic or funny, but it's just that we share the same vision for this. But the Harbor of Joy's slogan or motto or tagline is anchored in the Word, right? The banner in the back there. And that's one of our day themes at camp, actually, is anchored in the Word. When I started digging into the Bible, I realized that when you read through the Old Testament, almost everything about it, every story, every prophecy, every time you get a glimpse of God and his plan for people and for the world, it all points forward to something. It's all, God rescues his people, but there's still this glimpse of a future rescuer, right? God sends prophets, but there's still indications that there's a greater prophet to come. God does all these things and miracles, but there's still glimpses of someone to come. That's the whole Old Testament just points forward in hope and anticipation that God is going to send a Messiah, a Redeemer. And then we see the Jesus story. And then after the Gospels, you have all these stories of the apostles and Paul and the book of Acts and all the letters that Paul writes and Peter and James. They all write and they all point back to Jesus. Every one of them points back to Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection, all as God's anointed one, as the Christ, as the Messiah. So when you just start to read Scripture in its wholeness, in its fullness, everything before Jesus points to Jesus. Everything after Jesus points to Jesus. And you just realize that everything in Scripture points to Jesus. All along the way, God is signaling us. He's signaling his people. Someone is coming. Someone is coming. And then when Jesus comes, he gives us this sense that Jesus is the center, the crux of all of God's story, and that one day we know he will come again and redeem the world fully. So we can have not just an understanding of the Bible, but the Bible helps us to be anchored in God's Word, to realize that our faith isn't just some like feel-good thing. You know, it really happened. The Bible is history. And one of the cool things about Christianity is it all happened out in the open. There was no one that went into a secret cave and came out with this amazing revelation that is now scripture. Like, all of Jesus' ministry was out in the open. People saw it. People witnessed it. They couldn't refute it. The greatest witness to the resurrection is that no one has refuted it. Because they can't, because it actually happened. And it changed people's lives. So our faith is not just based on some doctrinal statement of beliefs, but it's anchored in the history and the word of God through his people. And I think that's incredible. We also find that our human experience sometimes can challenge our understanding of God. And all of us, no matter what age you are, what stage of life you're in, we've all experienced pain, suffering, hardships, challenges, testing. We've all experienced something that made us go, God, what are you doing? Like, God, where are you in all of this? Like, God, I don't understand. Or maybe you prayed for something and it didn't happen. And you kind of wonder, you go, God, I don't understand. What's up with this? And you think, surely this thing, whether it's a disease or a death or a loss or some disappointment, you think, surely this can't point to Jesus. We have a couple friends from the Sioux Rapids area. They've been friends ever since we've been here at the campus for 15, 16 years. And they have three kids that are about the same as our three kids, but they actually, in between two of those three kids, they prematurely gave birth to a daughter. And she had a lot of things that were going wrong. And we prayed really hard for God to work a miracle and to bring healing to her and to help her grow. And about a month after she was born, before her due date even came about, she passed away. You know, these are our friends. We prayed every night. It didn't happen. And there's a time where we said, why? God, why was this supposed to happen? I remember asking God. And I remember hearing a reply. And God said, it's not. It's not supposed to happen. This is not the way I created the world. I created the world to be perfect. I created the world to be in a perfect unity with me and that I would give life to it. But he reminded me that there is sin and suffering in the world. The world is broken. It's not the way it's supposed to be. And I think all of us deep down understand that. At some level, we look around and we think, this is not the way it's supposed to be. And God says, exactly. Exactly. There's a better life. There's a better life that awaits, and it's coming one day. And it'll come fully. And I think that I realize that even our sin and our suffering points us to the reality that we ourselves are broken and in need of a Savior. The very pain in the world, one of its purposes, I think, is to point us to God and to remember that this world is broken. It's not the way it's supposed to be. But that God has indeed sent a Savior. One of the questions a lot of people ask is, well, you know, if God is so good, well, how come there's evil in the world? You know, how can I believe in a good God when there's evil? And I think, how can you believe that there's evil unless you think that there's an ultimate source of good? Even the fact that people acknowledge that there's evil in the world says in their minds that they believe that there is an ultimate good, even if they're not willing to acknowledge that it's God. But we know that. We actually, as Christians, have an answer for that question. It's not what everybody wants to hear. But we know why there's pain and suffering in the world. It's because even myself and all of us struggle with sin, selfishness. You know, we live in a broken world, and that brokenness points us to Jesus. It points us to the need for a Savior. And honestly, admitting that in our own lives is the path to freedom. Beginning with confession of our own sin, that's really where the gospel comes in and says, God, I confess that I sin and I need your forgiveness. And God assures us in his word that if we confess our sins, that God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the good news of the gospel we have in Jesus Christ. So all of these things, creation, history, the Bible, even our sin and suffering, it all points to Jesus as the one, as the chosen one, as God incarnate in the flesh. During the time Jesus walked on earth, especially during his final few years of public ministry, lots of people encountered Jesus. And every one of them had to wrestle with the question that Jesus asked his disciples, who do you say that I am? The Pharisees heard him, saw him do miracles, but he didn't quite fit their vision of what they thought Messiah would be. So they had to somehow dismiss some of these other things, and they declared that Jesus was a heretic. So they answered that question, who do you say that I am? Nicodemus was a Pharisee, actually, but he, on the other hand, came to know more about Jesus and came to, as far as we can tell, acknowledge at least that Jesus was a rabbi who was sent from God, and we have good reason to believe that he followed Jesus and put his faith in Jesus. He gave up his tomb for Jesus' body and asked to put him in. Pontius Pilate could find nothing wrong with Jesus, but still had to label him as a rebel to be crucified. The Roman centurion, ironically, the very person who symbolized the oppression that Jews were feeling, the Roman centurion saw Jesus on the cross when he died and the clouds and the earthquake, and he said, truly this man was the Son of God. There's a Samaritan woman at the well who went through this progression as she interacted with Jesus, and she said, well, you must be a Jewish, you know, man, but I don't know why you're talking to me. And then she acknowledged that he was a rabbi, eventually got to the place where she believed he was a prophet after he told her some things about her life. But in the end, she ran back to town and came back declaring Jesus as Messiah. She answered that question. Even the disciples who spent time with Jesus still wondered who he was after he calmed the storm. You remember that? The storm died down and they looked at each other and said, who is this man? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Every person that encountered Jesus had to answer that question, who do you say that I am? And for all the academic discussion we could have about Jesus and Scripture and God and theology, that question still remains, and it's as if Jesus looks at each one of us and said, who do you say that I am? What about you, Dan? What about you? Who do you say that I am? The answer to that question is more important than just getting a trivia question right or passing a quiz in school. The answer to that question of who Jesus is gives meaning to our life. It gives purpose. It changes the whole direction of how we live and how we make decisions and what we value and what we prioritize. If we believe that Jesus really is the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, if we believe he's our friend, if we believe he's our Redeemer, if we believe he's a brother, if we believe he's the ruler of heaven and earth, then shouldn't we use everything we have to point people to him? You see, the answer to that question makes all the difference. So we see how everything points to Jesus. And the real question, too, is, does your life point people to Jesus? And it's not really a yes or no question. In fact, that question itself is almost the wrong way to ask it. In some ways, it's, how does my life point people to Jesus? Or, what parts of my life don't really point people to Jesus? Do your words encourage others with wisdom? Do they speak truth and love? Do they honor God? Do they people enjoy listening to you or seek you out for advice? How about your attitudes, right? Especially when nobody can hear you or nobody can know your thoughts. Do your attitudes reflect Jesus? Do they do everything without complaining? Do they come from a state of humility and compassion for others? What about your time? Do your priorities and the way you spend your time, do they point people to Jesus? This is a question that is great for us to reflect on as we think about how all of creation, all of Scripture, even the sin and suffering in the world, point people to Jesus. And all of them help us to be anchored in our faith, to have a confidence about our faith. But these kind of questions are also sobering and cause us to reflect. But they're not meant to make us feel guilty or bad about ourselves. But it helps us to lead our life and direct our life to the ultimate purpose of pointing people towards Jesus. I would say that most organizations, churches, and corporations even have a mission statement, right? I love walking into Pizza Ranch, and right on the wall, their mission statement is about bringing glory to God. And I love it. Our camp's mission statement is to know Jesus Christ and to make Christ known to all. Very simple. And I don't want to say easy to do all the time, but it's a simple one to remember and keep in mind. I don't know how many of you have ever thought about your own life. Does your own life have a mission statement? And if not, here's a suggestion. How about something like pointing others to Jesus in everything I do? Joining with all of creation, you know, and pointing people to Jesus. It's not about being perfect or changing who I am at its core. It's about pointing people to Jesus in my family, in my community, in my workplace, through my church, on my sports teams, with my finances, in my community, on social media. How can I point people to Jesus? At camp, that's one of the things that we love, is that it's a chance for people to get away from all the other noises in their life, and through creation, through relationships, through fun, through fellowship, through teaching, through skits, through dramas, we point people to Jesus. I'm excited about our theme, Anchored in Hope, and I'm thankful for the partnership with Harbor of Joy and many other churches who send kids to camp, who encourage families and couples and adults to get away to retreats at camp. And places like it, who then come back here and get nurtured week after week after week through the Joy Kids and other programs here through weekly worship. It's a joy to be a part of that fellowship and partnership of collectively pointing people around us to Jesus. Let me pray as we close our time. Lord, thank you so much for this morning, for the witness of your word, through the witness of others, through nature even. God, I pray for all of us who put our faith in you that you would also give us a sense of confidence in that faith. Lord, even though we don't know everything, we don't know all the answers, we still have questions ourselves. And yet we just know that everything ultimately points to you. And I pray that you would help our lives to point to you as well, that our life could be anchored in the hope that you've given us, and that we would be willing to share the reason for that hope with everyone that we meet. In Jesus' name, amen.
I have been asked to pass along an apology to the people who are watching on Zoom at the beginning of the service. The Windows program crashed and had to be reset, so we are sorry for any time that we lost with you at the beginning of the service. I would ask you to please stand and join with me in the Lord's Prayer, followed by the Apostles' Creed. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified and died in his grave. He descended to hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of my Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
And our benediction this morning is these words written by the Apostle John. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, will be with us in truth and love. Amen.
Thank you, Dan, for coming and sharing. Thank you for the connection we have with the camp. I look forward to being a part of that, and hopefully and prayerfully all of us will be involved somewhere.
We're in the room.